RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headline. Indonesian President Joko Widodo, Lee, begins activities in Singapore's Botanical Garden. Ambassador of Democratic People's Republic of Korea highlight opportunities to improve cooperation. World Parliament discussing Rohingya in Bali. And now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo Jokowi and Singaporean Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong began their activities by planting trees in Singapore's Botanical Garden. Bey Mahmudin of the Presidential Secretariat said in Jakarta on Thursday, September 7, that Jokowi and Lee also had morning walk and breakfast in the garden. They later left the Botanical Garden for the Singaporean Presidential Palace for a formal meeting, flanked by their respective delegation. Four issues discussed in the meeting were on investment, tourism, energy, and digital economy. Mahmudin said they were scheduled to witness signing of several MOUs, among other things, on management, disaster mitigation, and education cooperation. After lunch, President Jokowi and First Lady Iriana will go to Marina Bay Cruise Center to watch a joint flypast to be performed jointly by the Indonesian Defense Forces, TNI, and Singapore Air Force. The flypast was organized to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the bilateral relation between Indonesia and Singapore. In the afternoon, President Jokowi will attend Singapore and Indonesian Business and Investment Forum and one-on-one meeting with several CEOs from major companies. Ambassador of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, An Kwang-il, highlight the potential for increased bilateral cooperation between the Democratic People's Republic of Korea and Indonesia. Ambassador An Kwang too said Indonesia has a wealth of marine resources and supported by the encouraging economic policies set by President Joko Widodo. According to him, such resources and support will open opportunities for cooperation between the two countries.
I believe the potential for cooperation between two countries is much bigger than you expect. Two countries is connected directly through the sea, and the distance is not very far. Mm-hmm. Indonesia has abundant natural resources and rich economic potential and has already sound infrastructure for economic growth, particularly with the much encouraging economic development policy set by respected President Joko Widodo and the government of Indonesia. There are many of cooperation fields that can attract to foreign countries.
Until 2016, the total trade of Indonesia and the Democratic People's Republic of Korea reached nearly $7 million, an increase from the previous year amounted to $3.6 million. Ambassador An Kwang-too said Ambassador An Quang said the two countries have potential for bilateral cooperation in various fields, including trade, investment, banking, science, and technical cooperation. In addition, according to him, Indonesia and the Democratic People's Republic of Korea also continue to rely on tourism cooperation and cultural exchange in improving the relation of people-to-people contact. Members of Parliament from a number of countries around the world participate in the World Parliamentary Forum on Sustainable Development. The event, which is held in Bali 6 to 7 September 2017, discusses various actual issues, including the world's parliamentary efforts to support the realization of the Sustainable Development Goals (SDGs) of 2030 and to promote peace in Rakhine, Myanmar. Speaker of the House of Representatives Setia Novanto, in his opening speech of the World Parliament Forum on Sustainable Development affirmed in Bali on Wednesday that Parliament as a representation of society is obliged to support the achievement of the World Agenda. In addition, the Parliament also has a responsibility to create world peace, one of which ends the humanitarian crisis that struck Rohingya ethnic in Rakhine, Myanmar.
We are deeply concerned about the conflict and violence that happened in Rakhine, and for that we call on Myanmar government to immediately restore stability and provide inclusive security protection for all communities in Rakhine, including ethnic Rohingyas.
On the same occasion, Chairwoman of the Parliamentary Interparliamentary Cooperation Agency, Nurhayati Ali Assegaf, said that the agenda of the World Parliamentary Forum on Sustainable Development is one of sustainable peace issues. She further said that Indonesia is convinced in the goal of sustainable development and the world countries have agreed on human rights. Responding to Myanmar military violence against ethnic Rohingya, Nurhayati said that the forum is projected to produce Bali recommendation which will outline the delegates' thoughts in ending the humanitarian crisis in Rakhine. President Joko Widodo signed the Presidential Decree No. 87, 2017 on Character Strengthening Education in Jakarta on Wednesday. The signing was witnessed by several Islamic scholars, community leaders, and Muslim intellectuals. The president said that the decree was prepared based on inputs from various parties across Indonesia. He views that the presidential decree is a comprehensive one that provides legal umbrella for all parties to implement it. The president also stated that the government will formulate guidelines for further follow-up at the community level.
Jadi baru saja saya tanda tangani mengenai Perpres penguatan pendidikan karakter.
I have just signed the presidential decree on character strengthening education, accompanied by Islamic clerics and community leaders. I was very happy that all parties supported the inputs from all, so it becomes a comprehensive decree. It will be followed up by guidelines so it can be implemented soon. It also provides legal umbrella for ministers, governors, mayors, and regions to prepare the budget, namely for madrasah, schools, and communities. It is the strength of the decree.
Semuanya memberikan masukan sehingga perpres ini betul-betul sebuah perpres yang komprehensif dan nantinya akan ditindaklanjuti dan juga ini memberikan payung hukum bagi menteri, gubernur, bupati, wali kota dalam menyiapkan anggaran untuk penguatan pendidikan karakter baik di madrasah, baik di sekolah dan di masyarakat. Saya kira kepentingan dari perpres ini ada di situ.
On the same occasion, Chairman of Nahdlatul Ulama NU said Agil Siraj stated that NU or NU as one of the Indonesia's oldest organizations supports and appreciate the presidential decree in a bid to maintain Pancasila a state ideology and the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia. In a press conference, Said Akil said that the issuance of the presidential decree is aimed at building youths with noble character and respect in the frame of diversities. The international world keeps on experiencing progress from many sectors. The progress has been a serious threat for all nations, including Indonesia. This was stated by acting Indonesian Defense Ministry Lieutenant General Iwayan Midio at the meeting of State Defense Policy Coordination at the Indonesian Defense Ministry in Jakarta on Wednesday. He affirmed that Indonesia must be able to face global challenges with all existing threats.
Dynamic modernity and global interaction have implicated on the national security challenges with new security issues, which have multi-dimensional security threat of interstate. Over the last few years, the security has shown the sharp intensive and has threatened the life of state and nation, in which the threats can be categorized as physical and non-physical ones.
Moreover, acting Indonesian Defense Minister Lieutenant General Iwayan Midio further said that the physical threats are divided into two types. The first is unreal threats such as open war, which has little possibility to happen, and the second is real threats such as terrorism, radicalism, natural disaster, illness, epidemic, hijacking, theft of natural resources, border infringement, cyber war, and as well as drugs abuses. Meanwhile, he also said that non-physical threat is ideological attack that may harm mindset and character of Indonesian people through the foreign life influence, which is materialistic. This news coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani met President Joko Widodo at the Merdeka Palace, Jakarta on Wednesday, September 6, to discuss potential fiscal incentive to increase investment inflows. Sri Mulyani said that the ministry is making an inventory of incentive. The ministry will report incentive in the taxation sector that need to be improved to the president in order to shore up investors' confidence. Sri Mulyani stated that the government has granted quite a large room for incentive in the fiscal year 2017. After all, Indonesian Finance Ministry will evaluate the effectiveness of the incentive, including tax holidays, tax allowances, tax-free facilities for bonded zone and special economic zone, and import duty-free facilities. Sri Mulyani also stated that many incentives have been granted. The ministry will also look at them to see whether with the same policy, the ministry can create new investment confidence. At the meeting, the minister also discussed the draft 2018 state budget with the head of state. The president expressed hope that allocation in the draft 2018 state budget could be controlled as it will focus on public development. The last item, Indonesia and New Zealand have co-chaired the East Asia Summit, or EAS, to combat plastic waste in the ocean. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry's Director General for ASEAN Cooperation, Jos Tavares, said in a statement on Wednesday, September 6, that Indonesia's ocean faces a serious problem. Every year, at least 12.7 million metric tons of plastic waste are thrown into the ocean. Plastic waste would not only pollute the ocean but also endanger all living things, including humans. Tavares made his statement at the opening ceremony of the summit held in Bali on September 6 and September 7. Tavares asserted that some 80% of plastic waste in the ocean came from land sources due to the ineffective waste management and unregulated behavior of world's coastal communities in handling plastic waste. Plastic waste pollution in the ocean would not only create a negative impact on the environment, but also cause financial loss due to the declining state revenue from marine sector. He stated it is important for the EAS to play an active role. Through this conference, Indonesia expects some concrete solution for the issue of plastic waste in the ocean. And to end the news, here are the main points once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo, Li, begins activities in Singapore's Botanical Garden. Ambassador of Democratic People's Republic of Korea highlight opportunities to improve cooperation. World Parliament discussing Rohingya in Bali. And that was the news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hello listeners, nice to be here again. I'm here Manar Rahmana with the program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Economic Program of Sea Toll Road. Well, listener, currently the government of Indonesia through the Minister of Transportation is aggressively building various infrastructure projects, not only for land or air transportation, but also sea infrastructure is integrated with other. The great program of the presidential administration of Joko Widodo is known as the Economic Program of Sea Toll Road. This program is related with not only the operation of final vessels, but also the construction of piers in remote regions, especially in the eastern part of Indonesia, which is linked with integrated development in remote areas. Take, for example, road construction, telecommunication infrastructure, electricity, and potential product development. The Sea Toll Road is a freeway shipping lane connecting inter-island harbors in Indonesia. If the harbors are connected through sea tolls, it is expected that there will be no shortage of goods such as basic needs, fuels, and cement across Indonesia. Director of Sea, Feed and Transport at the Directorate General of Sea Transportation, Bai Hassani, said that the Sea Toll Road is a sea transport connectivity which is effectively scheduled to serve ships from west to east Indonesia. Sea line transportation through Sea Toll Program has now 13 routes, on which previously there were only 7 routes operating from Surabaya to reach the eastern part of Indonesia and partly operating from Jakarta to western Indonesia. The 6 new routes are prioritized for eastern part of Indonesia as well as small regions in western Indonesia, namely Sumatra areas and Natuna. This program is also balanced with the development of regional economy in transit. The Sea Toll Road Development Program, which provides a sea transport network with subsidized and improved port facilities, should be appreciated. The assistance of sea toll is really needed for the people, both those living in big cities and remote rural villages that are difficult to be reached by land or air transport. This program has a positive impact on the distribution of goods, which will certainly become more economical. In addition, the availability of the needed goods will be more secure and even distribution development throughout Indonesia can be accomplished. Listener, that was commentary. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome to Today in History, which happened on September 7. We start from September 7, 1940, birthday of Abdulrahman Wahid, the first president of Indonesia. Abdulrahman Wahid, or Gus Dur, was born in Jombang, East Java on September 7, 1940, and died on December 30, 2009. He was an outstanding figure of Indonesian Muslim and political leader who became the fourth president of Indonesia. Abdulrahman Wahid replacing President B.J. Habibie after he was elected by the People's Consultative Assembly (MPR), the result of 1999 election. His government was assisted by the National Unity Cabinet. The Abdulrahman Wahid presidential era was started on October 20, 1999, and lasted on NPR Special Assembly in 2001. Precisely on July 23, 2001, his leadership was substituted by Megawati Sukarnoputri after his mandate was revoked by NPR. Abdurrahman Wahid was former leader of Executive Board of Nahdlatul Ulama and founder of the National Awakening Party. On September 7, 1944, Japanese Prime Minister Koiso announced the appointment of Indonesian independence. Prior to 1945, Japanese position in the Pacific War began to recessive. General MacArthur, defense commander of the Southwest Pacific, who was beaten in Philippines, began to launch a counterblow. In April 1944, the Allied forces landed in West Irian. The Japanese position was increasingly squeezed when Saipan Island in the Mariana Islands fell into Allied hands in July 1944. For the Allies, the island is very important because the distance of Saipan to Tokyo can be achieved by the US B-29 bomber aircraft. It caused upheavals in Japanese society. Japan's situation was getting worse, led to the fall of Hideki Tojo government on July 17, 1944, and was replaced by General Kuniaki Koiso. To gain Indonesian willing to help Japan in the Pacific War, then on September 7, 1944, Prime Minister Koiso announced the appointment of granting independence to Indonesia. As the realization of the promise of independence uttered by Koiso, the Japanese occupation government under the leadership of Lieutenant General Kumakichi Harada on March 1, 1945 announced the formation of Preparation of Indonesian Independence Investigation Agency, BPUPKI, to investigate important matters relating to the formation of Indonesian independence. We end today's segment of Today in History with an event on September 7, 2010, Mount Sinabung erupted. Mount Sinabung is a mountain in the Karoo Highlands, Karoo Regency, North Sumatra Island. Sinabung, along with Sibayak nearby, are two active volcanoes in North Sumatra. The height of this mountain is 2,460 meters and become the highest peak in North Sumatra. The stratovolcano mountain has not erupted since 1600. On August 29, 2010 morning, Mount Sinabung put out lava, so the status was raised to watch status. 12,000 of residents surrounding the mountain were evacuated and accommodated in 8 locations. Part of the city of Medan was also enveloped in ash from Mount Sinabung. On September 3rd, the second eruption occurred. The first eruption spewed ash as high as 3 km. Volcanic eruption occurred simultaneously with 2 volcanic earthquakes that can be felt up to 25 kilometers around the mountain. On September 7, 2010, in the morning, Mount Sinabung erupted again. This was the largest eruption since it became active mountain on August 29, 2010. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listeners, it's nice to be with you again in our daily program Focus. The title of Focus today is Minister of Manpower Hanif encourages ASEAN to improve safety and health of work. The Government of Indonesia supports the commitment of ASEAN countries to improve cooperation in the implementation of occupational safety and health in a bid to achieve sustainable economic growth. This was stated by Minister of Manpower Hanif Dakiri in Singapore on the last Sunday, while he was delivering a speech on the Minister of Manpower of the 21st World Congress on Occupational Safety and Health. Minister Hanif added that ASEAN members are committed to improving the occupational safety and health not only for local workers but also for migrant workers. ASEAN should act as a motivator to foster more sustainable, inclusive, productive economic growth and decent work for all. Minister Hanif further said that the commitment should be a strong foundation in supporting the goal of ASEAN's socio-cultural society to raise the quality of life of the people by putting the welfare of workers as a priority. He said that the commitment is in line with what it is stipulated in the United Nations Sustainable Development Agenda of 2030 and in line with the ASEAN Sociocultural Vision of 2025 on an inclusive, sustainable, vibrant and dynamic ASEAN community. On the occasion, Minister Hanif also conveyed what Indonesia has done in improving occupational safety and health. One of them is by evaluating the implementation of occupational safety and health in the company every year. The government also rewards companies that are committed to occupational safety and health for their workers, including the informal and maritime sectors. The meeting, which took place from September 3rd until 8, 2017, resulted in a 10 points of agreement with the Minister of Manpower of ASEAN countries in a bid to improve occupational safety and health. The points of the agreement include improving the standard of occupational safety and health in accordance with economic, social, and cultural developments, improving supervisory capacity and improving risk management capability in ASEAN that provide the foundation for improving the standard of occupational safety and health. Listener, that was Focus Day. Thanks for listening.
Here is our news in brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo and Singaporean Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong began their activities by planting trees in Singapore Botanical Garden. Ambassador of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, Ahn Kwang, highlighted the potential for increased bilateral cooperation between the Democratic People's Republic of Korea and Indonesia. Members of parliament from a number of countries around the world participate in the World Parliamentary Forum on Sustainable Development. President Joko Widodo signed the Presidential Decree No. 87, 2017 on Character Strengthening Education in Jakarta on Wednesday. The international world keeps on experiencing progress from many sectors. The progress has been a serious threat for all nations, including Indonesia. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani met President Joko Widodo at the Merdeka Palace, Jakarta on Wednesday, September 6, to discuss potential fiscal incentive to increase investment inflows. And the last item, Indonesia and New Zealand have co-chaired the East Asia Summit, or EAS, to combat plastic waste in the ocean. And that was our news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to the Mencak Sumping tradition. Stay tuned. anniversary of Idul Adha this year, around 50 martial art colleagues were present at Dusun Manduloko, Tamansari Village, Glaga Sub-District, Banyuwangi Regency, East Java, to enliven the Mencak Sumping tradition. Both old combatants, young and children, came to demonstrate their silat or martial art. They demonstrate silat with their bare hands or with weapons such as spears, swords, and celurits or traditional weapon of Madura people. The tradition of Mencak Sumping was held to clear the village from distress. In the tradition, all martial art champions from Banyuwangi region gather to show the silat movement in front of the community and invited guests. Mencak or Pencak in the local language means martial ability. Mencak Sumping tradition is always held during Idul Adha. In the morning, people firstly run the Idul Adha prayer, then slaughtering the sacrificial animal. During the day, after Zuhur prayer, when the guests begin to arrive, Mencak Sumping then be held until late at night. When the men were slaughtering the sacrificial animals, the women were busy cooking Sumping. Sumping is a traditional cake made of banana and flour dough, then wrapped in banana leaves. They cook Sumping with traditional stoves using firewood. The tradition of Mencak Sumping begins when the martial art to be performed. One by one, the warriors from dozens of colleagues begin to show themselves. They firstly just play empty hand while showing light movements. After that, the show continue to appear one or two warriors who use a variety of sharp weapons, starting from celurit, sword, stick to dagger. Some of them even show fighting attraction. Uniquely, if there is a winner, he will check his opponent with Sumping. The attraction often provokes the laugh of the audience. Listener, generally the residents of Mondoluku village have martial ability. This ability is passed down from generation to generation from their ancestors. In the past, they were required to learn self-defense so that they could protect themselves from the cruelty of the Dutch colonialists. While Mencak tradition was occurred when pagebluk or disease outbreaks in Mondoluku village, causing many people died suddenly. Then they held clean village event by giving offerings at each village of the road intersection and echo the call to prayer or azan and salawat. They also held Thanksgiving in the two tombs of the elders, namely Buyut Jarat and Buyut Surat. After the procession is occurred, pagebluk will slowly disappear. Because the Mondoluku village does not have its own art, they finally held martial arts accompanied by music accompaniment as a form of gratitude for lost pagebluk. Ulang. Accompanied by music accompaniment as a form of gratitude for lost pagebluk. To treat the guests, the local people make sumping. Listener, that was today's Indonesian Wonder with the topic Mencak Sumping tradition from Banyuwangi. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa!
Mr. Lenny.
Mr. Lenny on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment, Miss Lini. In today's edition, we will inform you about Toba Lake Enchanted Carnival 2017. Stay tuned. Toba is one of the biggest lakes in Indonesia, situated in North Sumatra. This lake has been acknowledged as the deepest and biggest volcanic lake in the world and the second biggest lake after the Victoria Lake in Africa. Not only that, another uniqueness of Toba Lake is its location in Samosir Island of about 64,000 hectares wide in the middle of the lake. Toba Lake is a complete natural tourism destination, geopark, and water sport with its unique culture. This lake will continue to develop its potency. One of them is by stating the lake as the 10 priority tourism destination. Besides, infrastructure will also be built. Several tourism promotion have also been held to boost tourism visit in the area. One of them is Toba Lake Enchanted Carnival. Toba Lake Enchanted Carnival 2017 will be held in Baligay, Toba Samosir Regency, North Sumatra on September 9-10, 2017. The carnival is an annual agenda to strengthen Indonesian unity and bring it to the world. It is hoped that in 2019, Toba Lake can attract 1 million tourists. This event also targets to give domestic regional products revenue worth 16 trillion rupiah and to employ 300,000 people. This will increase people's welfare. This carnival will be participated in by 2,000 people. 500 of them are the core participants to have a ceremony of Menjunjung Tanduk. Tanduk is a plate filled with rice that is usually held on the Batak woman head. There is also a trumpet. The carnival also varies with boat parade in Toba Lake. The parade will cover 3.5 kilometers from Soposurung to Balerong. The carnival line will end in Balerong Traditional Market, a beautiful market consisting of 6 buildings decorated with Gorda Batak sculpture. Besides, tourists can also visit several tourism objects around Lake Toba. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany with the team Toba Lake Enchanted Carnival 2017. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening and I'll see you on the next Miscellany.
Again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian songs. In today's edition, we'll present nostalgic pop songs by Indonesian male singer Krisha. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Lilin Lilin Kecil by Krisha. Happy listening.
Mentari tua lelah berpijak.
Was performed by Krisha. The singer with full name Krisman Shaharhadi started his career since the 1960s by becoming a member of the Sabdan Nadab band. However, the name of Krisha began to be known since he dedicated the song Lilin Lilin Kecil composed by James F. Sunda for a teenage songwriting competition held by one of the private radio in the country. When he saw the lyrics of the song, he agreed to sing it. The song that was released in 1977 brought the name of Krisha became popularly known among the music lovers in Indonesia. This song is often used as a memorable song. The success of the song makes Indonesian musicians and singers to rearrange the song with their respective versions. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Juwita by Krisha. Happy listening.
1977, Krisha released her debut album entitled Jurang Pemisah with the same title with the leading song Jurang Pemisah. Unfortunately, at the time, this album got no response from music lovers in the country. However, it did not break his spirit in working in the Indonesian music industry. In this album, songwriter Guru Soekarno Putra, the son of the first Indonesian president Soekarno, also contributed his work, among others, Anak Jalanan and Kalasang Surya Tenggelam. While the song Cuita that you've listened, composed by Junaidi Salat. My listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs, entitled Anak Jalanan and Kalasang Surya Tenggelam. Happy listening, sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
selalu menanti dalam keresahan. Tiada rencana untuk bertemu, mesti menjalani hidup bersatu. Kasih sayang dari ayah dan bunda hanyalah adat semata.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.